and Kathy Dawes, along with Angie Sutton and Randy Clifford with Manhattan Parks and Recreation. And we'll go straight to the phone line. Welcome to In Focus, your question or comment for these two folks.
Well, let's talk about the wonderful parking area that you have over by the gymnastics area where we bring the younger members of the family. You know, with 50,000 people in town, that much parking, what limited parking is there, is always seems like it's full when Grandpa brings the young ones over.
What gymnastics are we talking about, just out of curiosity?
They're at City Park, there by the Ka statue.
Because I'm getting puzzled looks from the Parks and Recreation folks. I'm not sure that that's maybe one of theirs. I don't know.
City Park?
Yeah.
So are you, Angie? Are you referring to over by the pavilion, the Arts in the Park, the band shell?
Yes.
In the roundhouse where our dance studio is currently housed?
No. I was talking about the gymnastics set right out by the big statue that the little kids play on.
The playground area.
The splash pool.
Yes. Okay. That will be improved with this project. Part of
well,
it...
You're saying improved because one of the plans I looked at had that parking taken completely out of there.
Okay.
That's not an improvement.
Okay. We had two different master plan ideas going, and we were asking for input from the community. We had really two different camps. And one camp doesn't feel like there should be parking at all in the park and that it should be largely green space and that traffic throughout the park should be possibly eliminated or at least reduced. The other side of the camp would like to see more parking and not taking the current streets through the park out. So what we're trying to do is really listen to the public. We have to have parking to be able to service our facilities. And obviously, kids are the ones that play on the playground, and we don't really want kids running across the street if parking were removed or reduced. And so what we're doing with the parking at the pool is increasing the number of parking stalls that people can more orderly park in. Now, does that mean that you can pull up to, you know, to a parking area and walk 5 feet to the playground? No, not necessarily. You know, there will be, you know, a 100-yard walk from this parking area to the playground and to the splash park. But it is within the protected area of the park.
I object to that being 70 years old. I have a little sticker up, little on the car that I can't walk 100 feet.
Well, as you said, there were two camps when you looked at this. So
absolutely.
This is one of your people that apparently had a different viewpoint. And appreciate the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Really do want to mention phone numbers again, 537-1350, toll free, 866-776-1350. And I know as you put these things together, there have been a lot of questions, as there always would be. I know that we want to get back to Randy a bit, too. We'd promised people we'd talk a bit about activity at Annenberg Park, and he's going to tell us the very latest on that.
Well, things are progressing very nicely with that project. We're excited about what's happening there with this a little over $3.02 million, so a little over $3 million project in Annenberg to provide synthetic turf and replace existing sports field lighting on the four fields that make up the Twin Oaks portion of the complex, and also the soccer field one, that large pad that we have several of our soccer fields playing on right now. We're going to be probably seeing some of the major components of the project will be winding down as far as some of the field work, hopefully by the end of the year. But it'll be before everything's completed out there, it'll probably be towards spring of 2016 before it's ready to open up again and be used for next year's seasons. But I think that some of the key features everyone talk about are just improving the playability. We'll be putting in new drainage systems as part of those projects to put the synthetic turf on the infields on the softball complex, and that's something that's going to allow us to, much more in terms of playability, especially when weather is a factor. That'll be something to really help a lot with the use of that facility. And we're excited about the ability to host, more events and activities there and not have to be as concerned about, weather interruptions. I think it'll improve ability to maintain and take care of those, and it'll be able to better handle the the demand for usage because of the number of games that are played out there throughout the course of the year. It's a very, very busy facility for us, and this will really enhance that and make it even more of a destination facility for events throughout the playing season. We're also improving our lighting with the installation of some new energy-efficient sports lighting from Musco. I think that'll be a nice addition. And there's some other small enhancements that will be going on with the complex as well, that hand-in-hand with these projects. But we think this is going to be something that the community will really enjoy once this project is completed. And you'll see, I think, the ability that just to better utilize a facility that has been a great asset to our community, but we really haven't put a lot of money into in terms of any major improvements since it was opened in 1987. So it's time to really make this investment and upgrading the facility and some of the related amenities there.
On a slightly other subject, I know City Commission recently considering and giving the go-ahead on facility feasibility request for qualifications. We had our own reporter, Austin Barnes, at that meeting. This is the result of strategic facility improvement plan the commission approved several months ago. And I know there was a lot of discussion from that meeting and a lot of questions.
Right.
And we'll let Angie comment too. But Randy, what exactly does this mean for the public? What are the expected results?
Well, the intent of this RFQ that's now going out is to seek someone to a qualified firm to put together a team to work with us on building on that previous study that was completed. So now we want to look at those priorities that were identified in that study, and we need somebody to put together a team with the expertise to help us move forward with developing that plan. And so we're focusing on the four key implementation priorities, creating indoor space geographically located throughout the community. Priority two was the improvement to safety and the playability of existing field playing surfaces. Priority three is to improve availability and condition of community parks, trails, and neighborhood parks. And priority four was addressing the development of new indoor aquatic facilities. These are the primary focus areas. It's not necessarily the only thing that we'll be addressing in the study, but it is it's important to I think, talk about how this ties to the previous study that was already completed and how this is kind of the next step in that process, is to bring somebody in and actually look at putting together a plan with some options for pursuing some further development in these key areas. Again, not at the exclusion of some of the other things that we're working on in terms of the department's goals and objectives, too. But that's something I think, just in talking about this at the commission meeting, that it's obvious there's a lot of interest in moving forward with these projects and making sure that the scope of it is suitable for what's needed to be done for our community. But I think those are things that will be fine-tuned as we move forward in this process with the RFQ and getting a good firm on board to help with this project.
Angie, any comments from you? And I know you have had some questions, and it's always good to kind of clarify for people what we're talking about here.
Well, I think that there was a very quick relationship between looking at the four priorities that were set forth in the Strategic Facility Improvement Plan. And these were set based on an immense amount of community input. We had 27 different focus groups a couple of different times throughout the plan, so truly a community-driven plan. Then we put together the RFQ, what we need a qualified consultant to come in and help us really decide, okay, so when we talk about a recreation facility, a recreation center, immediately I think people jump to, oh, it's going to have an indoor pool and a track and a workout facility and a cycling room and a daycare and a huge gym and, you know, all of these things. You know, I'm not ruling out that that's a possibility, but it also could be a gymnasium type situation that's on the other end of the spectrum. So we don't know. We know what we'd like. We need to know what can we afford, what can the community use. We have some wonderful partners. We have a great partnership with USD 383, with the schools. They allow us to use their gyms. We program some of their activities. We're going to build off of these partnerships, and it makes sense. It makes sense to work with the school district on this, but we'll kind of figure out where those will be, what they will be, what they will cost, where will the funding mechanism for that come from, and the public will have to give us more input. We need the public to help us really drill down into what the needs are and what will it cost, and again, what will that funding mechanism be.
Very good. I know we could talk really all day. We've gone pretty fast through some of these things, but I know that obviously City Hall, there's been a lot of work going on there. I've parked there a time or two for meetings. It's getting rather interesting. Maybe a quick update, Angie, on that.
Well, if you drive by the front of City Hall, you'll notice that there is a new portion of that building, and that is the Parks and Recreation offices. That's the expansion of City Hall, and we'll be moving across the street. This will provide an immense amount of efficiency with shared staff, shared facilities, shared equipment. And part of that will simply be that there in January, when we have registration open for all of our winter and spring sports activities programs, if you are the people that like to walk into our office and have us assist you, you will be coming to the front door of City Hall, to that information area there. You can do it online, you can mail it in, but if you'd like to come in and see us, be sure you come to City Hall instead of to the park.
Looks like we may have another call, and let's go ahead and take that call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please, with Angie Sutton and Randy Clifford from Manhattan Parks and Recreation.
Yes, I have a question for Randy. I was curious if the new soccer field that's being turfed, if it will be lined for football.
I think we'll have the option there to actually utilize that in a variety of different ways. Manufacturer, in terms of putting that together, is trying to give us maximum flexibility in terms of how we can align those fields. And so I think we're looking at a number of different setups there. So hopefully it'll be something that can be utilized in many different ways.
Appreciate the phone call. Did that answer your question?
Sure did. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. 537-1350 might be able to sneak a few more questions in. Hopefully Jared Bigsby doesn't mind waiting just a little bit to come on. But anything else we're wanting to add today, Angie? I know we've covered a lot of territory, didn't quite get into everything we wanted to get into, but maybe anything else you're wanting to highlight today?
Well, you know, construction improvements are the flavor right now at Parks and Recreation. And if you go down by the Blue Earth Park, Blue Earth Plaza area, you'll notice it's torn up a little bit. We're adding some electrical improvements to that area. We do have a new park out at Lee Mill Heights. You can explore that now. We marked some trails, and there's a sign that you can see three different trails. We had a prairie walk just to introduce the public to that new park, and so those are still marked, so go out and explore that. The weather is perfect for that. We will kick off some master planning for that new park, and again, we'll be asking the public for some input. What would you like to see out there? We just finished Douglas Community Center parking improvements, which provided a paved parking area for those utilizing the activities in that facility. You won't have to walk in with muddy shoes every time it rains. So we're pretty excited about that. We'll have some building improvements at Douglas Center kicking off this spring.
We have two phone calls on hold, so let's go ahead and take those calls. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
Hi, yeah, question or comment, I guess. I haven't seen, is there plans to cover the pool at City Park?
Well, that is a great question. And again, this is something that this qualified consultant that's coming in will be looking at what the options are. Can we best serve the public and their needs by covering City Park Pool, covering Seco Pool, and adding a recreation center next to it? We'll be exploring all of these options. And what is the most economical? How can we best serve the public? So it's a possibility.
And I'm being a pool owner. I know it's not cheap to do that, though.
Correct.
But
right.
It's a good question there. Do appreciate that. Let's go to our second caller. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
Well, the thing is, you guys have had a problem getting lifeguards down there. So is that going to make it easier to get lifeguards if you cover that pool?
Well, it's an industry, challenge. And as we talk to different park and recreation agencies and YMCAs and other outdoor pool providers really in the Midwest, finding enough lifeguards to provide a safe experience for users is a challenge. So do we think it would be a challenge to staff it year-round? There's a difference between staffing a square pool and staffing a water park. So at City Park Pool, it is a water park, and so it requires more staff to be able to have those sight lines to be able to see all of the areas and provide that safe user experience. If we were to cover a pool, you know, would it take less lifeguards to staff the portion that we might cover? Yes, but do we think it will be challenging? We do, but it's not something that we couldn't overcome.
Do you appreciate
one other quick comment here, okay? Real quickly.
Go ahead.
You've got quite a bit of playgrounds around this area, do you not?
We have 14.
Okay, a lot of people, you know, I always hear this argument, well, I can't afford to go to a gym, I can't do this, can't do it. Well, we got the facilities right there in these playgrounds. Believe me, I mean, I've worked out on them before, and there's plenty of stuff you can do in those playgrounds. And a lot of people, I don't think they see it that way, you know. So anyway, that's a comment. So.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks.
That very much so. Well, before we wrap up, Angie, I know there were a couple other things you wanted to mention, events or whatever, and we'll let Randy say a few more words too.
Well, you know, it was pretty chilly this morning, and it got us really thinking about our indoor ice rink. It opens on November 16th. Again, it'll be $3 per skater and $3 per pair of skates to rent them. If you're a parent or a grandparent, babysitter that just wants to bring the kids, you can come in. If you're not skating, we're not going to charge you. You can watch the kids skate. It's a really great indoor activity to do. We have some new skates, and I think that you'll really enjoy it.
Randy, anything before we wrap up today? And welcome again.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. And I will just mention again, I'll backtrack a little bit on the Annenbrook project. I did also fail to mention we're doing some playground improvements out there, too. So part of our ongoing efforts to update and replace playground surfacing, and the one at Annenbrook is getting some attention now. So that's something that will be happening during it's actually underway now. It will be online by next spring as well. And from my perspective, again, just want to kind of reiterate that we're very open to always having input from the public regarding any of the programs and services that we provide. It's come see us, come call us, you know, stop in, shoot us an email. I'm happy to have that input. And it's going to be important, again, as we initiate this next step in our facility planning process. But it's also important in terms of the work that we do every day. So we're here to serve and want to hear that input.
Obviously, a lot of interest with all the phone calls today, and do appreciate that. We'll have
we
to get
do.
Sean a little more often.
Absolutely.
But do appreciate both of you stopping by. Manhattan Parks and Recreation Community Relations Director Angie Sutton and the new Recreation Director Randy Clifford did a great job your first time being here in studio. We appreciate Randy being here too. We'll take a break, and we come back. Jared Bigsby of Manhattan, President of the Kansas Association for Conservation and Environmental Education, also a lot of us probably better known in the area as Curator of Education at the Sunset Zoo. Again, you're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.